James chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. We'll read responsibly. James 5, 13 through 20. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if any have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be able to hear the prayer of the righteous man that feeleth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that which converteth a sinner from the error of his ways. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord God, all that you've done today, Lord, and I just thank you, Lord, for all the souls that were saved, Lord, and I just pray that you'll just bless the service, Lord, bless the preaching, Lord, and just give us something from the message, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen.
I just want to thank you all for your testimonies tonight. Amen. And by the way, I'm glad we're participating in church tonight. I'm not going to buy into that this is liberal New England and there's nothing we can't do. We can't buy into that.
Right.
Second thing is, as pastor sharing the vision of towns and communities around us, we ought to be praying that God would send laborers to those areas. You know, I know that Jesus says, true, the harvest is great, the laborers are few. But he told us something. He said, pray, pray. And if we can't do anything else, we can pray that God will send laborers into these areas. And these areas will once again flourish with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It just burdens my heart when I hear that kind of thing, especially when I see children who, someone who came from Brockton today and came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And Brother Joe, I just praise the Lord for, you know, this church's participation. And really, the blessing of being here is that you all allowed us to be able to serve with you. And I'm glad, amen? I'm glad that we can reach who we can for the Lord Jesus Christ indiscriminately. And that means we have a burden to reach everybody. And I'm glad that the church is this way. I'm just so thankful. I figured tonight, just to let you read, I figured you might enjoy. I today picked up church bulletins, mistakes in church bulletins that were made, spelling mistakes that were made, and some punctuation, and I thought maybe I'd read some of them off to you. One of them said, don't let worry kill you, let the church help. The Thursday night potluck supper, prayer and medication to follow. Remember the many who are sick of our church and community. For those who have children and don't know it, we have a nursery downstairs. At the evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be, what is hell? Come early and listen to choir practice. The Reverend Merriweather spoke briefly, much to the delight of the audience. With a smile on his face, the pastor listened as the church choir sang the traditional hymn, How Great Thou Art, as the rather large casket of a 500-pound parishioner was wheeled out of the church. This one I just got to read. Smile at someone who is hard to love. Say hell to someone who doesn't care much about you. They meant hello. Due to the rector's illness, Wednesday's healing service will be discontinued until further notice. And the offertory hymn will be, Jesus Paid It All. I thought tonight, in the light of events of our participation, you know, I like having themes. I like having a motivation and a goal to work towards. I think we ought to have goals, personal goals, spiritual goals that we're working towards. And I think it's great that the church can get together and participate in contests like this. I think it's a lot of fun. And by the way, serving God should be fun.
Amen.
We ought to have fun serving the Lord. We ought to not be afraid to enjoy ourselves. You know, I was reading why people leave their churches. And here's some 59% of people who left the church did so because changes in life situation. 19% simply got too busy to attend church. 17% said that family home responsibilities prevented church attendance. I'm sure we all heard these excuses at one point. Others, reasons explained, were moving too far from the church, work situation, divorce, or separation. 37% leave because of disenchantment with the church or participation. And then 17% said church members seemed hypocritical and were judgmental of others. 12% said the church was run by a clique that discouraged involvement. Boy, I think about the involvement that we ought to have. Brother Smith one time reminded us of a story that Dwight L. Moody did some years ago. He filled the pews of boys and girls from the streets. And the presence of the children, Dwight L. Moody had brought them into the church, so it disturbs the sophisticated members of the church. And when Moody was presented for membership, and the church board suggested that he think it over and pray about it for a month. The next month, Moody came before the church board and said, "Did you follow the suggestions?" the church board asked. He said, "I did," said Mr. Moody. He responded, "What did the Lord say?" And he responded to one of the board members, and he told them not to feel bad about it, because he's been trying to get into this church himself in the last 25 years. You know, I wonder tonight if we, by our commitment and lack of participation, are hindering the work of the Holy Spirit in our own churches. Look at what it says here in James, in this book of James, as we go through it together. Number one, we see that they were a participating church. He says, "If any are you," James chapter 5, and right there on verse 13, he says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him what? Pray." Man, I like that, because it says that there, listen, and the truth of the matter is, I'm glad that we can reach people in our church, because church welcomes, and they ought to be welcoming, all kinds of people.
That's right.
You know, we have people here that are afflicted tonight. I love the thought of the encouragement, because there is all kinds of people that are afflicted with all kinds of things. You know, I think about the changes that it talked about, changes that happen in life. My wife and I are getting ready for some changes in our lives. You know, we keep talking about our oldest son is going to college. Our daughter is getting married. And we got some changes coming, you know. And you know, those kind of changes will sometimes bring affliction. Man, and those kind of changes. Now, let me tell you this. I'm encouraged that my children are leaving home to follow the Lord. That's an encouragement. But there's people around us all times that are afflicted. We ought to be able to look at people and see their condition. He said, "Is there any among you afflicted? Is there any among you that is afflicted?" Listen, they're suffering trouble. It could be affliction, could be because they're being ill-treated, because they're suffering evil, because they have they're just plain suffering, a trial of affliction. But it becomes obvious here that there's someone suffering affliction. And James speaks about it here, and may include, it may be physical suffering, but it goes sometimes much beyond that. It includes pressure, pains, and problems of any kind. And the truth of the matter is, wherever you are at tonight, all of you have known what it is to go through affliction. And James says here, if we're going to be a church, a kind of church that people desire, we ought to be able to participate when we see the condition. We ought to be a viewing church. We ought to be able to see the conditions of the heart. There are many afflictions that people suffer. There could be mental afflictions, spiritual afflictions. Listen, there's Christians tonight that are maybe going through the battle, and you may not know about it, or you know, it may be that there's a Christian, and especially those that are involved in the ministry, sometimes are in the forefront of the battle. And the Bible says that we ought to participate. How? With concern. Let him pray. I often think about how important our prayer life and how important our prayer life should be and how little we make of it. Now, the truth of the matter is, and I could say even for myself sometimes, the last step that I always take should be the first, and that's the matter of prayer. It is important that we learn that our participation depends on prayer. When we pray, we talked to the children about praying this morning. And what was our motivation for prayer? Listen, our motivation of prayer should be to communicate with God. I illustrated to them that, being involved in networks, one of the methods of communication we use is something called a fiber cable. This fiber cable, among other cables, is very different because this fiber cable is made up of a glass line or a glass, very thin glass thread that goes from one end to another. But so accurate is this fiber thread that it can go up to 7 miles and keep the communication constant. It's one of the longest mediums of communication that we have and one of the most reliable mediums of communication to connect one network or one computer to another. Really, it builds the internet, this fiber communication that we have. Now, it's very important that when we place this cable or when this cable is laid down, that this cable has no kinks in it. It's very important that the cable in no way suffers stress or is bent, because if the way that this cable works is by allowing light from one end to another. In other words, it works on the basis of light traveling through this glass wire that runs right across. And if that cable is kinked, or if that cable is bent, it keeps the light from going through. And in reality, we can bring that to our prayer life, that sometimes when we don't pray, we don't allow the light to come through. When our prayer life is not what it should be, we are not participating into that kind of prayer life. Listen, we don't see the affliction of others. We're not building ourselves into the way that we should be. And he says, is there any afflicted where? Among you. You know, there's people around you tonight that are hurting. It could be the very person sitting next to you. It could be your brother and your sister in Christ. One of the things that we have in the Bible over and over again that it gives us is that one another. In fact, it says pray for one another. Let me ask you this. When's the last time you pray for one another? Is there any among you afflicted? We ought to participate, number one, when we see the condition. And number two, we ought to participate with concern. There is a concern to me that there is a lost and dying world out there. I see it every week among children. I think about the child we've been talking about tonight that is sometimes difficult to control. And boy, I tell you, my heart went out to Miss Michelle this morning as I was preaching. She was literally restraining and trying to keep this child under control. He was moving all over the place, trying to cause a disruption. But she lovingly, listen, would sit there with him and patiently, because why? Because she had a concern. She knows that he's afflicted. She knows that he has a need, but she had a concern for him to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I wonder tonight, If we can get under that, you know, as we join into the participation of this sports events that are coming up, that if we could get ourselves into the point of number one, seeing the need, the condition, we are reaching a lost and dying world. We are reaching people around us that, listen, that are going to hell. And if you cannot see the condition, it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart of the condition of New England. I'm not going to give up on New England. Amen? Amen. I'm going to pray that God will send more laborers into New England. But there is a condition. Listen, I'm going to participate. How? By seeing the condition. And then not only seeing the condition, but responding with concern. Sometimes we look at the condition and we say, we need to do something about it. Yeah, see people like that? I need to do something about that. I ought to do something about that. But they never get around to doing something about that. I'm great sometimes with that kind of stuff when it comes to building things or fixing certain things in the home. My wife will tell you she hates it when I pick up a toolbox or any kind of device that knows it's, you know, and sometimes I go, you know, we all procrastinate one way or another. You know, we got to do something about that. You know what? We ought to do something. You know, we complain. We must do something about, have to do something about it. But in reality, things will change when we take action to do what we need to be doing. Listen, I'm praying for New England. I know there's a lost and dying world around me. I know that here in Carver, there in Cape Cod, Plymouth, Massachusetts, Wareham, Brockton, you go all over the state, they're lost people. We can look with concern and say, something ought to be done. I wish they were reached. But in reality, the only thing that's going to make a difference is this. What are you doing about it? We can complain about the politics. We can complain about the state of our nation. We can complain about everything, and we can have solutions. You ever get together with people and you have a discussion, and all of a sudden it ends when, now that we've solved all of the world's problem, everybody has an opinion. But few little people have action. And James brings us to this point of action when he says, are you afflicted? Is there any among you afflicted? This is the condition. Then what should be the response? Let him pray. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you read the story there of Jehoshaphat, who all of a sudden someone came to him and said to him, you have some that are coming to trouble you. You have some that are coming against you from Engedi. You have some that are coming against you from the other side. And the Bible says Jehoshaphat feared. And fear is a very real thing. It attacks all of us. It's an emotion. It's an affliction. But the very next verse said, but Jehoshaphat prayed. Listen, I still believe that prayer can change things. Amen? I still believe that it's going to take prayer to change the heart of our nation. I think it'll take prayer to change the heart of our communities. I think it'll take prayer, and I know it takes prayer to change our own hearts and to change the heart of our church. I know this tonight. There is no perfect church. Amen? Because there is no perfect people. And someone said to me a long time ago, if you find a perfect church, stay out of it because you're not perfect and you'll ruin it. But listen to me. This is the closest thing we have to heaven here on earth. And we ought to be willing, and we ought to be loving enough to participate in the ministry of our church. Not only ought we look to concern, not only are we ought to look to the condition, but then we ought to participate. And this is where the rubber meets the road, when we talk not only about looking at conditions, not only about seeing what's around us, but are you participating? I love playing baseball. I love watching baseball, but it's a lot more fun to play it, amen? Can't play like I used to, but I love, listen, I love to watch certain sporting events. One event I cannot watch is golf. I'm sorry, folks, but if you got that much time, that golf puts me to sleep. When I see a guy get up on that golf course and go, he's about to tee off. All I want to do is get behind him and go, ah! I really do. But boy, I love to get out and hit some golf balls. Amen? It's different to actively look and then to actively participate. It's a whole enjoyment when you participate. Listen, and here we have an opportunity for soul winning. Here we have an opportunity for reaching the lost. Are you concerned about it? That's great. Are you seeing the condition? That's great. Are you participating? That's even better. That's what the Lord wants. He said to us, go into the world and reach the gospel with every creature, to preach the gospel to every creature. We ought to be, listen, willing not only to, but it's in the participation that we ought to be involved, and that's the type of church we ought to be. I'm glad that we have that type of church here tonight. I'm glad that we have a participating church. Listen, we pick up children, and there's Sunday school teachers that meet with those kids, and I'm glad when I see them come in with handful of treats for those kids, and I know they're going to get sugar, and I know they're going to get candy, but I know they're going to get loving, and I know they're going to get the Word of God.
Good. Amen.
Makes us not only bystanders, but participators. And boy, I tell you, that's why I love being part of this ministry. That's why I love being part of this ministry, because we're seeing the condition and participating in the condition. And then what does it say? It says that if you see it, let him as afflicted, let him pray. Is there any Mary? Let him sing psalms. The other response we ought to have as a type of church we ought to be a praising church. Amen. I love Sunday night testimonies.
Amen.
I love them because they encourage me. It encourages me to hear what else God is doing in the life of others. I want to hear what's going on in your life. And not only that, your testimony may be some encouragement to somebody else in this church who may be going through the same thing. You don't know what's happening. You don't know how God can use your story. I'm glad God used a little boy to say, I'm not, or a little kid this morning to say, I'm not going to let Satan win. That encouraged me. Amen? Where did that kid get that from? I don't know, but I like to think he got it in the teaching of this church. Amen? I like to think, listen, that we ought to be a praising church, willing to give merrily the works and tell others of the works that Christ is doing in us. Listen, a New Testament church should be a singing church. By the way, enjoy singing. Enjoy singing. I sing lousy. I don't care. Sing. You know that one of the things that the Bible tells us that fullness of the Spirit is singing. Singing to yourselves in spiritual songs and making melody in your heart towards the Lord. We ought to be a singing, praising church that is not afraid to exalt what Christ has done. Look at Colossians 3:16 with me, please, real quickly. Colossians 3:16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in what? Psalms. And hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I tell you what, there's nothing that excites my soul more than the old hymns. Amen? Listen, preaching excites my soul, but being able to have a song that all of a sudden fits in your heart and encourages you and lifts you up, gotta be singing every day. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunge when it's that flood, lose all their guilty stain. It encourages my heart. Amen. It encourages my heart. Living for Jesus, a life that is true. Living to please Him, glad-hearted and true. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, I'm so happy in Jesus' child, and forever I am. You know that it is a joy to be able to be that type of church, that we have that joy that comes out of us. What do we have to sing about? Listen, you got a lot to sing about as a church. You got a lot to praise God for. Number one, we have a pardoned past.
Amen.
My sins are forgiven.
Amen.
I love that song tonight, and my sins are all washed away. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We have a pardoned past. God, listen, the Bible says He has removed my sins as far as east is from the west. And here's the best part. He remembers them no more.
Amen.
It's amazing how the people of God can remember things and God can forget. God has an ability to forget.
Right.
A real ability to forgive and forget. I'm glad for that tonight. I'm glad that I have a pardoned past. I'm glad that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new again. I'm glad for the new life that is in Jesus Christ. I'm glad that today, listen, God has taken my past and cast it away, and He's giving me a present peace. Why can I sing tonight? Because I have peace. I have peace tonight. I have a peace that the world doesn't understand. In fact, Jesus said, "My peace I live with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, and let it not be afraid." Tonight, I got the assurance that, number one, I'm safe forever, and I have a peace in knowing that I'm going to be in heaven with Jesus if anything happens to me. I also have a peace in knowing that God, all things work together for good for them that I love God and are called according to His purpose. I have peace tonight. I can sing about the peace. One of the wonderful songs that said, "Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above." And I'm glad I have this peace tonight that surpasses all human understanding. And it can only be given to God. Why? Because, listen, I can praise Him for that peace tonight. I'm glad that I have peace with God tonight because my sins are forgiven. They're washed away. And listen, they are removed as far as... And I have peace with God. How? Through Jesus Christ. And I can praise Him tonight, and I can be that type of church that I'm a praising church that loves to extol the work of Christ in me, and the fact that the things that my sins are gone. Not only do I have a pardoned past, not only do I have a present peace, but I have a future that is promised. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." I'm glad that the chief carpenter, the best carpenter in the world, went to prepare a place for me. And then the best part is this. He said this, "I will come again." Amen. Woo! I'm glad that I have an assurance that Jesus is going to return. I'm glad that tonight I know that I'm a pilgrim and a stranger passing through this world, but my place, my mansion, I have a mansion that God has prepared for me in heaven, and I know that someday I'm going to reign, I'm going to be with Jesus in heaven, and I can't wait. He said, "I will come again." Listen, situation's getting bad. "Oh, but you don't know, brother, how are we going to pay for the healthcare bill?" He's coming again. Listen, the terrorists, and now we have an armed reduction treaty, and we have people lifting all kinds of weapons against us and building weapons, and we're taking ours down. What are we going to do? I don't know, but He's coming again. Earthquakes around the world, here and there. What are we going to do? I don't know, but He's coming again. And listen, we ought to live our lives with the hope as if Jesus died this morning, rose in the afternoon, and is coming back tonight. And he who had this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure.
Yes.
I have the hope of Jesus Christ tonight that He's coming again. He says, "I will not leave you comfortless." I'm glad that there's a Holy Spirit that comforts my heart in Christ Jesus. I have a future that is promised. Here's the best part. He says, "I will come again and receive you unto myself." Best thing in heaven was going to be that I'm going to see the one that died for me, Jesus. Someday, face to face. And he said this, that where I am, boy, that's great. When the people asked the children of Israel, "How will I introduce myself? How are we going to tell them? What is your name?" And he said, "Tell them I am that I am." And Jesus over and over again introduced himself. "I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I am the shepherd. I am, and a great I am." And he says, listen, even before Abraham and Moses was, I am. God dwells in the eternal present. And he says, "And where I am, I'm glad I have this eternal life." Amen. "There ye may be also." Hallelujah. Tonight I have a home in heaven. Tonight, I have a future that is promised to me. I have an eternal salvation that no one can take away. And I have that joy tonight because I know my Savior lives. We, brethren, sisters, have something to sing about tonight. I always believe the Christian ought to be the loudest singer. Not necessarily the best, but he ought to sing with his heart. My mother said to me long time ago, "Fred, you sing well. You just sound bad." Listen. You gotta have joy. I don't care if you sound bad. Sing. Amen. Sing. He's coming again. Coming again. Maybe morning. Maybe noon. Maybe sometime real soon, Jesus is coming again. You ought to have a song in your heart that the devil can't take away. Listen, if there's one thing that the devil hates is a singing Christian that wants to praise God with his life, you ought to go ahead and sing anyway. This is what it, we ought to sing praises to God, because it identifies us as who we are. Amen? And not only ought we to be a participating church, and not only ought we to be a praising church, but listen, we ought to be a praying church. Amen. We ought to have, if there's an earmark that marks this church, if there's something that identifies you, is the area of prayer. It's the area of prayer. Someone said Satan trembles when even the weakest saints pray. And I thought about that. How is your prayer life? Listen what he says. The complaint is there any sick among you? In other words, this without strength or not functioning properly. We can be sure that James is not speaking to just minor sickness or a headache or feeling a little down or out. This is made clear in the fact that the sick person does this. He calls for the elders of the church to help. The sick person is not well enough to go see them. He's calling for them to go see him. And notice the call, let him call. You know why he has to call? Because it's a way of humbling ourselves. Let him call. It's your affliction. God wants us. Listen, I'm glad that if we humble ourselves, he is going to exalt us. I'd rather humble myself than let God humiliate me. I want to humble myself because that puts me in the position where God can use me. Let him call for the elders of the church. And one of these elders, they were ordinary people, ordinary laymen, ordained of God and recognized by the local church as being in position of practical leadership. Listen, you say, well, I'm not a deacon. That's all right. God can still use you. I'm not a preacher. That's all right. God can still use you. I'm not a Sunday school. God can still use you. All God is looking for is a willing vessel to yield himself and say, Lord, here I am. I may not be much, but use what you can.
That's right, preacher. It's good.
And if you have that willingness, God will use you. And when God uses you, listen, you find yourself in the position of joy and praising because God is using you. Happiest moments in my life are the moments that I'm used of God. I love getting behind that thing on Sunday morning. I love hearing children laugh. I love seeing children come to Christ. Why? Because I know God is using what he has given me. You say, God's not giving me much. He's giving you just what you need. Giving you just what you need to be able to do what he calls you to do. I'm glad that God not only calls you, but he prepares you to do what you need to do. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go on in Jesus' name. I'm glad that the Bible says I can do all things. I can't teach a Sunday school class. God says I can do all things. I can't really do a ladies' meeting. I can't do this. I can do all things. I can't be involved in this area or that area. I can't go soul winning. I can do all things. How? As long as you're in Christ who strengthens me. I want to be part of that participating church. I want to be part of that praising church. And I'll be part of that praying church. Let him call for the elders of the church. God can use you in any position. Listen, God can use you. Notice the command and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Many times we've seen God. Listen, I'm not into the merchandising of miracles like some are today. Well, come get you a miracle. You know, or come get this. You know, if there's a problem today is that they're taking the message of Christ. And today the message of Christ has been commercialized and mixed up that so nobody recognizes anymore. Listen, if there's one thing that we need to do in our church is keep the message of the gospel as pure as it needs to be so that even the simple child can understand how to be saved. It ought to be our job. What are the he says, let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick and the Lord. You know what? I learned something a long time ago. You may do what you can, but it's God's work Amen? It's God who's going to do the work. Apollos says, some planted, some watered, but the Lord gives the increase. And as long as you stay focused in God, listen, let God leave the results up to God. Do what you can, but leave the results up to God. What are the conditions? Listen, in the name of the Lord, everything we do, whatsoever we do for Jesus Christ, do in the name of the Lord. Honoring Him, praising Him. Why? Because the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. We knew many times that the conditions were right, where God, I'm not into the merchandising of miracles, or today, like people take, you know, you take a bottle of oil everywhere and begin to pray. I've seen people like that, take a bottle of oil everywhere and start praying for people without knowing what the scripture says. But I've seen cases. And I stand here today when I see the healing hand of God work through His church. Now, we're not into the merchandising of miracles and telling you, you know, come and get your miracle. That's not the call that we have here, because we believe that the greatest healing that can happen in life is the forgiveness of sin, the healing of broken hearts through the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And that ought to be our message. That ought to be, listen, the command that we obey. And here we have someone who has a need, calls, and the conditions are met. And then fifthly, and I'm done, or fourthly, we have to be a passionate church. Amen. There's a lot of people passionate about many things, but not the right things. I see people passionate about their music. I see people passionate about their sports. It's amazing how some people won't talk, but you downplay or say something bad about their team, and all of a sudden, you can't shut them up. You know, amazing how some people won't comment on certain things. Even within our own circles today, we have someone who got right, who needs to get right with God, because she was talking passionately about the Yankees. And I said, Lord, forgive her, for she knows not what they do. I'm not going to mention names.
Come on, just do it. Go ahead. Go ahead.
You know? But there's people that are passionate about their sports. There's people that are, you know, I love how some people in church will say, I'm not the demonstrative type. I'm just very quiet and calm. And there's some people that are passionate about not only their sports, but passionate about their politics. What we need today is a church that is passionate for Jesus Christ. Because I believe every situation in the world, I believe every situation in politics can be resolved if we have a passion for Jesus Christ.
That's right. Yes, sir.
What's your passion tonight?
Yeah, that's good.
What are you passionate about? Passionate about an individual, passionate about something that your passion ought to be Jesus Christ. David said, as the heart panteth for the water brook, so does my heart. Where's your heart tonight? You see, it's all about a heart matter. Where is your heart tonight? Here's the danger we have to wear that he brings us through. We ought to be a passionate church, because this is a danger that we need to be aware of. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, verse 19, he says it very clearly. He says, brethren, if any of you err from the truth, you know, it's possible for you to be distracted and drawn from the truth tonight. It's very possible for all of us to be drawn from the truth tonight. If any of you err from the truth, wonders, backsliding, it happens. Begins with, listen, backsliding always begins with sin. It always begins quiet and subtly and slowly. It's like a wandering or a straying. Nobody rushes headlong into backsliding. It happens one step at a time. In fact, Paul tells us, let anyone think himself strong. Watch lest he fall. We're all subject to falling. Now listen, what are they erring from? If any of you do err from the truth, the word of God. No, there's people that become drawn from the word of God, become drawn from the truth because, you know, number one, they're not living in the light of the word of God. Number two, the Bible to them is not as real as it should be. You know, the truth of the matter is sometimes we know our TV guide better than we know our Bible. The truth of the matter is sometimes we read our paper with more passion than we read our Bible. We read any other publication, we give it more passion than we do our Bible. I said this morning during our Sunday school class, there's things we allow to come through our television that we wouldn't allow someone to do in our home. And we're passionate. I'm passionate about CSI. I'm passionate about NCIS. I'm passionate about everything. Listen, I'm passionate about this. I'm passionate about that. But our believer, our passion should be the Word of God, the truth. And we are to embrace the truth of the Word of God. Listen, it is our duty that we be alert to the things around us. Why? Look at what he says, verse 20. In verse 20, he says this. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from sin and shall hide a multitude. Listen. It says, shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin. What is our business? What is the thing we ought to be passionate about? Reaching the lost. Amen. Converting. Reaching people for Christ. Be alert to the souls of regenerate man around us. He that converteth the sinner. Listen, the soul, their life, convert, turn back. Someone that is not saved or is not regenerate. That's what it's speaking about there. That converteth the sinner from the error of his way. What are we doing when we go out soul winning? We're looking to convert the sinner from the error of his way. We're looking to change people in the direction they were going to. They were going in one direction, but the gospel of Jesus Christ got them to repent. Turn around and head towards a new life. That's what we ought to be passionate about.
Amen.
And what increases our passion? What increases our passion is our prayer life. Read about it. Verse 17. Elijah was a man subject to life passions. See, the matter is, all of you are subject to life passions, as myself. I'm subject to trouble. I'm subject to it. I'm subject to burdens. Everybody suffers burden. You talk to most people today, they're worried about the economic status of their lives, and rightly so. But Elijah was a man subject to life passions. It's interesting how we can become subjected to our passions. And I'm glad that James brings it to the truth here, that Elijah was a man subject to life passions as what? What does he say in the next verse? As we are. You know what that literally says? He was made of the same stuff that you are. He was in the same flesh that you are. He was subject to the problems and afflictions that you're subject to. We're subject to them. We're subject to financial burdens. We're subject to them. We're subject to illnesses. We're subject to them. I'm in a fleshly body that, listen, that it has been damaged by sin. I'm saved. My soul is going to heaven. But this body is subject to earthly passions, to earthly things. It's subject to it. And it's made up of the very same thing that all of you are made of. And some of you can look at me sanctified, but you're made of the same stuff too. That's what he's saying. The same kind of thing that runs through your vein ran through his. But what was the difference? He prayed. And not only did he pray, but look at the next word, earnestly. The truth of the matter is sometimes we fall into life's passion because our prayer life is not one of earnest prayer. I'm glad that James put that word there right behind prayer. He prayed earnestly. That means that it took work. That means that he spent a long time doing it. And the truth of the matter is, our prayer, the reason that we are past, we are subject to the trials of life today is because we're not praying the way we should, and we become subject to it because our prayers are not earnest, our prayers are automatic. We have joined the world, and I say it many times, I'm going to repeat it tonight, we have joined the world of the instant gratification. And we have brought it into our Christian living. Give me something quick. I wish the sermons were quick. I wish the prayer time was quick. Truth of the matter is, sometimes we call a prayer server, prays for 5 minutes, and we're done. But can I tell you, there's sometimes we're going to pray, and it's going to take earnest prayer. There is sometimes we're going to have to come before the Lord, and we need to learn how to spend time with God. Not just in the mealtime when we say, through the gum, what is it, down the throat and through the gums, look out belly, here it comes. That's not a prayer. But the truth of the matter, our prayer life consists of what happens at the dinner table. And that's not earnest prayer. We need to get involved. Listen, the type of church we ought to be involved in earnest praying. Look at what the earnest prayer was able to do. It was able to change the weather. You realize that scientists are looking for ways to tamper with the weather and they can't do it, and they have the answer here all along. He prayed earnestly that it may not rain. And what happened when he prayed earnestly? Look at the very next part of that verse. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Do you realize that what you as a saint of God have in your fingertips when you pray earnestly?
Yeah. Amen. That's good.
You're able to change the course of nature itself. You're able to change the condition around you itself. And sometimes things don't change because we don't pray earnestly. Man, that speaks loud to me. That ministers to me tonight. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And the next verse it said, and it rained not. Man, if God can stop it from raining, he can take care of your situation, whatever it is. There is no limit to what God can do. There is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he will do for you. And then what does it say in verse 18? And he prayed again. And this time he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain. And the earth brought forth her fruit. Man, I'm glad that God can change the course of nature. He can change the events in my life if I learn the secret of praying earnestly in the will of God. And God can make you passionate in what you need to be. It's all about a heart matter. But number one, I want to be a participating church. Number two, I want to be not only a participating church, but I want to be a praising church. And number three, I want to be a passionate church so that God can use you. I want you to know, can you bow your heads tonight? God's spoken to your heart tonight. Maybe God's spoken to your heart about your participation, your level of participation. You say, well, I'm already participating. Well, listen, ask God to increase your level. Don't stay